السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected and honorable علماء, my beloved elders and brothers and our young ones in Islam, if we do a calculation over approximately 50 years, a person performed the first salat and then the sunnah muakkada, just the 12 sunnah muakkada, the 3 witr, no taraweeh, nothing else. We would have recited Surah Al-Fatiha over 500,000 times in our life. Actually, it goes to 585,000. No taraweeh, no learning in madrasa, nothing of that sort. The question would arise, why has Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not only commanded us to repeat the surah in practically every rakat of our salat, either the imam is going to read for us or we are going to read? The other aspect with regards to this is that Allah has compelled us to perform, to recite this in our salat, and then the repetition. And what is all this about in this beautiful month of Ramadan? If we can just sit back and take some time out and think about this very powerful dua, over 500,000 times that we make over here in our life, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us on the Sirat-e Mustaqim. If we paraphrase this more colloquially, O Allah, give us hidayat. Allah, give us hidayat on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. And before this, what are we saying to Allah Rabbul Izzat? On the one hand, we are praising Allah and we acknowledging the fact that Allah is the Rabb, Allah is the Sustainer, Allah is the Nourisher, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives us and the entire universe our sustenance. That is, on the one hand, an acknowledgement, praising Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then we are also acknowledging the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Allah is the most merciful, Allah is the most compassionate. And then we come to Maliki Yawmiddin. And many of us Quite rightfully, we had learnt the translation of this, Master of the Day of Judgment. But brothers and friends, what do we understand by the meaning of Master of the Day of Judgment? In other words, Allah is the Malik. Allah is the owner. And of course, these thoughts will dwell in our minds that if Allah is the owner of the day of Qiyamah, then what happens to today, the 13th of Ramadan, the 14th of March? Is Allah not the owner of today? Is Allah not the owner of yesterday? Is Allah not the owner of tomorrow and every other day of our life? One Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had begun his tahajjud salat. And Allah give us the tawfiq that one is to understand the meaning and one is to internalize that meaning. And he came to Maliki Yawmiddin. And then his conscience, his heart, his iman, his yaqeen, his ruhaniyat, his spirituality stops him there. It does not allow him to go further. And he goes on repeating, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin. And this goes on right to almost the end of the tahajjud time. It's now going into Fajr. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu then completes his salah. And there was an observer that asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that you did this and you repeated this entire night and you cried. What's the reason? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded that Allah is saying He is the owner of the day of Qiyamah. Allah is not only the judge. A judge will sit on the bench that may not even belong to him. He will have a table in front of him that does not belong to him. Pass a verdict on rules and laws that man had made. And even if he's a Shari'i judge, he's going to pass the law according to the command of Allah. Here is Allah Himself. But that is Allah. He has full ownership of everything. But what about Ali? What would he own on the day of Qiyamah? What about you and I? What are we going to be owning on the day of Qiyamah? Leave a piece of cloth, we won't even be having a thread. We will not be having any footwear, we will be barefooted, totally unclothed. And this is what Allah Ta'ala is drawing our attention towards. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants us to understand and realize, that in every Surah Fatiha, in every Salah, Maliki Yawmiddin, that today I may have everything, but tomorrow I will have nothing. And that makes me understand that whatever is in my ownership today, superficial ownership. It's a spaza ownership. It's there and it's not going to be there. It was never there. And we are going to leave it, or it is going to leave us. That's the message that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala brings forth to us. And then we're making a pledge to Allah thereafter. Iyaka na'budu. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, O Allah, and you alone do we ask for help. Again, Malik ibn Dinar recites this ayah in his salah and he collapses. He falls unconscious, not because he was a diabetic or because of hypertension. When he comes back to consciousness, people ask him, "What happened to you?" He said, "When I read Iyyaka Na'budu, I had to recite this, oh Allah, you alone do I worship. And oh Allah, you alone do I ask for help." I realize, Malik, what a liar you are. You are lying to Allah. You say that you worship only Allah, but you do not have that full yaqeen in the power and the might and the qudrat of Allah. You say that you only ask Allah for help, for assistance, but you put your hand out to everyone else. And then, brothers, this very powerful dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide us on the Sirat-e Mustaqim. If we try to understand it, we as ummatis are reciting. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also made the same dua. As a matter of fact, when we turn the pages of the kitabs of ahadith, we will find so many other duas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, seeking hidayah and guidance from Allah. And undoubtedly Allah had sent him for the guidance of mankind. So in a nutshell, there are different stages of hidayah. There are different of guidance that we are on, stages of our lives. And this is what this month of Ramadan requires from us. We would have heard one of the objectives of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may acquire taqwa. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O those who believe, in تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, if you have the taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَلَّكُمْ فُرْ, Allah will place within your spiritual heart a meter that is called Al-Furqan. The Quran is also called Al-Furqan. That within our hearts, Allah will give us the ability, the discretion from wrong. To know good from bad. To know what earns the pleasure and what earns the displeasure of Allah. Allah will place that in our hearts. So when we look at taqwa, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a group of people whom Allah gives hidayat to, and they are those that turn to Allah in tawbah. And that is the very, very bottom most part of hidayat. That for me and you to know that from time to time we err, from time to time we commit sins, from time to time we waver, we may slip, and in that slip we don't remain on the ground, and we do not remain in that condition of disobedience of Allah, but we immediately turn to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah. To slip may happen. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah speaks about the muttaqeen. He speaks about those who have the quality of taqwa. And in that, Allah speaks of one group. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشًا, those who carry out an indecent act, a promiscuous act, a shameless act. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, or they wrong themselves, they committed a sin. They do not remain on the ground. They do not remain fallen. But when they slip, Dhakarullah. Dhakarullah. They remember Allah. And what they do, they turn to Allah. And they seek forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the kitabs of hadith, there is an incident of a man called Abul Yusr. Abul Yusr was a merchant that would sell dates. And once a woman came to purchase dates from him. And he asked her to come into his house because he has a wider range, a wider variety of dates. And when she comes in to see, he slips. He kisses that woman. Now that slip had taken place, but it did not mean that Abul Yusr fell to the ground and remained on the ground. Main gira, phir utha, phir chala. The great Arif Billah, he says, I slipped. But when I slipped, I got up. And when I got up, I began to walk. And I walked the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now Abul Yusr, he's overcome with anxiety, he's perturbed. And his first response was to leave the house and go en route to our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, on the way, he sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr sees this man disturbed. He sees this man perplexed. It could be evident on his face. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr asked him, Abul Yusr, what has happened? He explains what had happened. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him, Abul Yusr, make tawbah, remorse, regret, seek forgiveness from Allah. There's no need to go further to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that worry, that concern does not allow Abul Yusr to go back. When he comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according, he tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need to be punished by the Islamic code of the penal law. I must be lashed, I must be stoned to death. That is how heavy, how difficult, that is the consciousness with which he had come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets wahi from Allah that this Abul Yusr has done what he has done, but he has the remorse, he has the regret, and already he's had the intention of never to return to that sin. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announces his forgiveness. So brothers, this is where it all begins, and it opens the doors of more hidayah, more guidance coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then when we look through the Quran, we will find that this will take us to a stage about which Allah ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu alaykum anfusakum la yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum la yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. You'll come to that stage that those who are misguided will never influence you sufficiently for us to leave the path. But there is one important aspect. Alaykum anfusakum. Be always concerned about yourself. And this ayat is not telling us not to be worried about the next person, but together with worrying about others, to a greater extent, we have to be concerned about ourselves. What is my journey? What is my relationship with Allah? How am I fulfilling the commandments of Allah? When I sleep, what do I do? Do I turn towards Allah? Alaykum anfusakum. We live in a very harsh environment. An environment that gives people the blatant right to look into the lives of others, find faults in others. And Allah forbid, our necks become so stiff that we are unable to look at our own hearts. I'm just going to make reference to Sayyiduna Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when one day he came out of his home and he said, Nafaqa Hanzala, Hanzala has become a munafiq. Sayyidina Abu Bakr hears this and he asks him what had happened. What does Hanzala say? He says, Abu Bakr, when I am by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my condition is different. But no sooner do I come home, then I find that my spirituality has dropped. You know, we say we are on a high. And now I come home and I don't find myself in that spiritual state. Now the point that we find is Sayyidina Abu Bakr looks into his heart and he says, I find the same with me. Alaykum anfusakum, friends. Look into ourselves. Hanzala called himself a munafiq. He called himself a hypocrite. Sayyidina Abu Bakr looks into himself and he does the self-diagnosis. And again he detects in himself, and these were Sahaba. Allah bore testimony to the iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the iman the criteria. Friends, alaykum anfusakum. We need to look into ourselves. How are we faring with Allah? Are we doing justice to the various ni'mas that Allah has bestowed upon us? Or are we creating an environment of enmity? Are we creating this environment of calling others munafiqeen and others kufar? Look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And when this happens, very quickly, may yuridillahu ayyahdiyahu yashrah sadrahu lil Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his desire increases to give more and more hidayat. When this happens, Allah ta'ala calls it shar'u sadr. Allah expands the bosom. Expanding the bosom, فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّي. It is a noor, a light that Allah puts into the heart. And what does that entail? Number one, we will find we made tawbah. We will find we concerned ourselves with our own conditions. And now the next stage is now reached, that we will be living in this world. We will earn in this world. We will work in this world. Everything will happen. But the heart will incline towards the akhirat. We're doing whatever we're doing here, but now we become very aware that we have to store for the akhirat. And of course, there is this preparation for maut in every aspect, that we now realize the shortness of this world and the subsequent and eventual departure from this world. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his khilafat, there was a drought and people were concerned, and they come to him one morning after Fajr and they say, Khalifatul Rasul, this condition is now becoming pressing, becoming difficult. upon all the different groupings of people in Madinah Munawwara, and you need to do something, you need to mitigate. Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, by the evening, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open the way. That evening, before the sun sets, in the horizon, from the horizon, the dust is up in the air, and a huge caravan of goods enters Madinah Munawwara. And people now find out that this is the caravan of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The merchants are first at his door, offering him an increase, bidding in the profits. Some was offering 5, 10, 15, 20. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued to say, I am getting more. I'm getting more. Now the business people, small community, they realized that all the businessmen of Medina are here. So who is left? Who is that person that's giving more, putting spanners in the works? He says, my Allah promised me, man ja'a bil hasana falahu ashru am. That person that comes with one deed, Allah will multiply it 10 times. Go and give this out to the people of Medina. He's living in this world, he's earning in this world, but his concern is for the people that did not have. And of course his concern was, what would I get in the Akhirat? That night, a Sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sees in a dream our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam riding on a horse. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is apparently in a hurry. Abdullah ibn Abbas, that desire to speak to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in his heart. Allah's Nabi says, Abdullah, I am going to the nikah of Uthman ibn Affan in Jannat. He's here in this world, but that is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows. So brothers and friends, Allah give us the tawfiq. Allah give us the ability. Let us continue to make tawbah. Let us be concerned with ourselves. And inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will turn our hearts towards akhirat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.